The Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas announced yesterday that the U.S. is granting what is called temporary protected status to Ukrainians now living or studying in this country.
Our hearts stand with the Ukrainian people who are suffering so much tragedy and so much loss. We in the Department of Homeland Security are acting in support of them, not just in support of the Ukrainian people in Ukraine, but also those here present in the United States.
Now, this change means an estimated 30,000 Ukrainians can remain in the U.S. for 18 months. Canada and the EU have announced their own humanitarian protections. Let's talk about this change and more broadly about Ukrainian refugees with Krish O'Mara Vagnaraja. She's president and CEO of the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. Krish, welcome back.
Scott, thanks for having me.
So first, what do you make of this TPS, Temporary Protected Status designation? It seems to help Ukrainians already here, yeah?
Yeah, and it's a commendable decision. You know, President Biden had heard from quite a number of folks. There was a bipartisan coalition of 42 senators calling for it. 177 NGOs, including us, had sent a letter to the White House asking for this. And it is valuable. What it means is that for families, individuals here who are understandably very worried about the prospect of going back to an active war zone, they will have some relief.
Okay. And for Ukrainians who are internally displaced in their country right now or trying to get into Eastern Europe, what else can the U.S. government or NGOs like yours do right now?
So there's a few things. First and most pressing is to work with the international community to surge humanitarian assistance like, you know, food, shelter, medical care to the refugees. There was a strong initial commitment from the State Department to provide humanitarian assistance. We know that the UN has launched an emergency appeal of $1.7 billion. But beyond funding, we need to help build the operational capacity. And that means the U.S. supporting the front lines. The U.S. took a first step in terms of the deployment of 5,000 U.S. troops to Poland. But that's just the beginning, because we know that the situation is deteriorating. It's also really important for us to advocate for those safe corridors, because we know that there are millions more of civilians who are now being either indiscriminately or intentionally targeted. And we have to make sure that they can get out as well as humanitarian assistance can get in.
How do you think about the scale of this humanitarian crisis? I read a quote from the UN High Commissioner for Refugees who said, "Rarely have I seen an exodus as rapid as this one."
This is shaping up to be a massive refugee crisis on a scale we haven't seen in Europe since World War II. In just 1 week, we've had more than 1 million people flee, half of them children. But we just have to look back to recent history. When Russia annexed Crimea, we had more than 1.5 million who were displaced. What we're seeing is along the lines of that. And so I think bracing ourselves for not just what's going to happen in the next couple of days, but really the next couple months is critical.
And as far as children, we've read reports that many of them are unaccompanied children crossing into Poland. What are the unique needs that they have?
Yeah. So we have heard reports of busloads of children with very few parents heading out of the country. And so obviously as a organization focused on child welfare, we're concerned about where are they going, where are their parents. But of course, we also have quite a number of families where there's no father because the father is remaining in country to fight the Russian aggression. So we need to really be focused on meeting the immediate physical needs, but also the trauma of sitting in a city where bombs were going off day in, day out, the trauma of knowing that their fathers are not with them, but in fact in harm's way. So for us, we're really concerned about that.
Mm. And finally, Krish, I'm sure a lot of listeners are wondering how they can help, where they can donate to help Ukrainian displaced persons, refugees. How would you advise them?
Yeah. So obviously, the international organizations like UNHCR, Red Cross, Save the Children have stepped up in an incredible way. I should also stress that there are some great local Ukrainian aid groups that have been on the ground and doing this work. Charity Navigator is a great way to understand who's legitimate and who might be fraudulent. But it's also important for Americans to use their voice. We need to continue to advocate to our elected officials that policies like temporary protected status, making sure that the refugee resettlement system here in the U.S. is available to Ukrainians is critical. While Europe will be playing the front lines in this case, the U.S. can lead by example. And so making sure that our 125,000 cap for refugees this year is met. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's a allocation of about 10,000 for Europe. We could easily surpass that in just a week. And so making sure that our leaders know that America needs to lead the charge, I think, is going to be valuable, too.
Krish O'Mara Vignaraja is president and CEO of the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. Krish, thank you again.
Really appreciate you having me.